Good morning, and you're very welcome to the Sunday Show this morning. Well, you may guess from that, and I did announce it last week, I did say that we'd be doing Memories of the Voice of Yall again this Sunday. The Voice of Yall is something that happened way, way back. It was phenomenal in its success, I have to say. And it was absolutely something terrific, that an idea, I suppose, that came out of Per Nooch and Tor. And then that developed and it became The Voice of Yall. And that happened sometime around the 80s, because the 80s, as we'll hear from Nooch a little bit later on, it was a quiet time in town, a quiet time for the pubs. And it needed something to happen. And this is what happened, and happened with great success, I have to say. And something that I enjoyed many Monday nights when there was nothing else to do. You could go to the Voice of Yall. Great talent, I have to say. Great talent there. And what we've captured on this tape is something that's only very, very minute compared to all those entries that were in the Voice of Yall. And our thanks go to Mark Ansbrough, of course, who recorded that. Absolutely fabulous in the way he put the music. All the music is put behind it by Mark himself. But of course, they are a great musical family, the Ansbrough. Anyway, but there's lots to offer on this CD. I love it. I think it's terrific. I think that the Voice of Yall was terrific, and I know a lot of you people out there think it was terrific. So we're going to continue now with Memories of the Voice of Yall.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
This is Nooch. The Voice of Yall, well, I suppose the Voice of Yall began as a result of the pair and Nooch and Tor with the late Pat Mulcahy and myself. And Monday night was always a quiet night in most of the bars and establishments in town. So we decided Monday night, as previously we had done the pair and Nooch on Monday nights as well. And getting adjudicators and backing singers and backup for the different singers, a lot of hard work had to be put in by Pat and myself. But thank God it turned out to be a great success, as a much needed fund from many local charities, and indeed for missions as well. Sister Rosa Cashman, who was out farm at the time, we done a special night at the Youth Tree Lounge for her. Many, many happy memories of the Voice of Yall, the singers, the songs, and I've no doubt the CD will bring back many, many happy memories.
Anyway, folks, that was our beloved Nooch Kenefick and his introduction, as usual, to The Voice of Yall. As I said, The Voice of Yall came about sometime in the 80s, a great success, and I think a lot of the reason for the great success was Mr. Nooch Kenefick. And indeed, in terms of relaxing the singer, in terms of getting them, because sometimes the singers would be a little bit nervous, and Nooch would relax them. I know it happened with my own wife. She'd be nervous on the night, and Nooch would have a few words, and whatever that magic he had, he just got everybody relaxed and got them ready. We have Noel Cronin with us this morning, and Frankie, and of course Jim Coleman. And of course Jim was very much involved with the Voice of Yall going back all them years ago. But Noel, you were more involved in so far as, tell me, Noel, what was the Voice of Yall about?
Well, basically, Jimmy, and I suppose you're bang on there when you say that Nooch had a kind of a disarming way about him. He could make, you know, you feel at home and comfortable. Now, the Voice of Yall, I think, originally started with a programme called Per Nooch and Tor. And that started in 1979. We were long open at the time, actually, and that started in 1979. And what that was is basically Per Mulcahy, Muller, as we call him, and Nooch Kenefick used to go around to various pubs and establishments, etc., etc. And this basically, the whole idea of it was radio was bringing somebody into the radio here was a bit intimidating, right? And what, in fairness to Pat Mulcahy, he came up with the idea. Look, he says, if the mountain can't go to Muhammad, you know, why can't Muhammad come to the mountain or whatever? And what he did was bring it to the local pubs. And I remember the first pub we bought to us actually was Kevin Powers and the Blackwater Inn. That was the first Per Nooch and Tor. And that ran for about maybe a year, year and a half, slightly more, I think, about 2 years. And what we noticed then was there was an awful lot of, you know, when the interview would be done, Nooch would usually ask him, look, give us a bar of a song, give us a blast of a song. And of course, there were some fine singers coming out. And of course, people were in their own environment. They had a pint beside them, all their friends beside them, and, you know.
And they were quite happy.
They were more than quite happy, some of them were, you know. Merry. I go as fast as I say merry. But it stemmed from there. And of course, then the Voice Hall, the first year of the Voice Hall, and the second year and the third year. I think it ran for about maybe 4 or 5 years. But it stemmed, as I said, from a very novel idea, and it went from strength to strength.
And a huge success, I would say.
Huge success.
Going off to Jim Corbyn now. Jim, what do you think the attraction was, the Voice of Y'all? Was it because it was a Monday night? Was it because there was loads of talent? Was it because charities were involved?
Well, I think, Jim, like the 80s was a kind of a time. There was a bit of a recession around. And I'll tell you what I think it was, Jim. I think it was the right thing at the right time. Like, you know, it just hit the right time. Now, there have been several efforts to reconstruct the Voice of Y'all, and they all failed. Why? Because the time, it wasn't the right time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The time was gone, I suppose. But yeah. You see, and that's why it is very important that we have the likes of the CD and that we have these memories of the Voice of Y'all, because it was a huge success socially, for charities, for everything. It just, as Noel made a point while ago, everybody
night,
was merry.
Because the Monday night, it suited the public in the Monday night, because Monday night was his quiet night, quite basically. Yeah. And it suited the public in, I suppose. But as well as that, you see, we found this especially in the rural areas, that if we went to the rural areas, the pub was absolutely packed.
But do you remember, Noel, when they're talking over you?
No.
That
no,
when the Voice of Y'all, we usually start about 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the place used to be, there should be people going in there about 6:30.
Oh, they were, yeah.
And if the place used to be, you wouldn't get in there then any time from about 7:30 till 8 o'clock.
Well, I remember one particular instance, actually. We went out to Spillane's out in Knockanore. It's called Mammy Spillane's out in Knockanore. I'm sure a lot of older people would know it anyway. And we went out, I suppose, around fast 6:30, 7 o'clock, I suppose. Two lads and myself over here, and we pulled up at the door and we saw all the cars around the place and we went in. Now, Mammy Spillane's actually was, was the Sycamore Inn, I think it was. Was it the Sycamore Inn in Knockanore? And it was, went in the door and it was just a small public house, but it was absolutely jam-packed. And we went in and Nooch turned to me and he said, I don't know what we're going to do here. He said, tell the truth, because we have a bit of gear to set up. Now all we had was an amplifier and a tape recorder and a couple of microphones and speakers, and off we went. We couldn't even get in the door, right? So the woman of the house came over anyway. Ban and T came over anyway, and we said to her, look, we want a small bit of room. And she stopped for a while and she said, look, I have an idea, she says. And she went in behind the counter and got a bucket of water, right? And came out, and there was a big open French fireplace in the thing, you know? And she caught the bucket of water, and she threw it on top of the fire, out of the fire. You know, the fire went out, but that was grand. And she got a small table and a chair, and she said to me, no, boy, she said, you can go in there now, she said, and you put the table there, she put your gear on top of it, and you can sit in there. Grand, problem solved. But what happened, of course, I think it was a February or a March night, and what happened was, as the chimney cooled down, naturally, of course, this little particles of soot began to fall down on top of me. And by the time the night was over, I was like Al Jolson, literally tell the truth. And the gear was covered in the night. But there were some of the moments that we cherished, some of the stories to go with it, you know. But as I say, like, the Monday night was a great night. But as well as that, you see, it used to be played on the radio back on a Wednesday evening. And again, it was played on a Sunday as a repeat. So on the Wednesday evening, the publican was guaranteed to have the pub absolutely packed again for the listening. And again, on the Sunday evening, they'd all come in to hear themselves singing or whatever the case may be, other people there.
So the publicans were very welcoming to this idea.
Oh, they were the publicans,
and
you
why
know.
Why not?
It was a boon for the publicans. Yeah, oh, it was an absolute boon for the publicans. You know, they had their house filled practically three times, you see. But it was great like that from that point of view, you know. But as Jim rightly says, like, it was a product of its time, you know. And again, if it was going now, Jim,
I don't think it would take off.
The licensing laws are changed. Everything is changed. But, you know, you see the pub business, like, rural pubs are only just barely keeping the door open.
Well, no? Jim made a point there while ago that it started at 9 and people were there at 6:30. And I can tell you, Jim, that many a time it didn't end at 12 or 1 or
not
2 or all. 3.
Not at all.
I remember being in one establishment one night, just keeping shake. I wasn't doing anything else, of course, only just involved. It was a night I sang in the Voice of York, actually, down in Snoopers.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Jim, hold on to that
remember comment. I can't remember.
Anyway, what happened was, about...
The lighthouse is cleared, isn't it?
About 4 o'clock in the morning, the singing was going well and the Voice of York was going well. And the girls came to the door and... And when you hear that, you know that the boys are blowing around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they came in and the first fellow they met, God be good to him now, with Billy O'Keefe. And they said, what are you doing here at this time of the morning? What's your name? My name is Billy O'Keefe. And what are you doing here? Oh, I'm with the band. I was okay, no name taken there. He went around to 4 or 5 of us and he was going for about 20 minutes and we were all with the band. There was about, I'd say there was definitely 60 people in the pub and I'd say 52 of them were with the band. But one poor man, one poor man didn't think of saying he was with the band. He just said, well, he said the guard said to him, finish that pint there now. And this gentleman, I won't mention his name, said, I will finish it, he said. When I'm ready to finish it, he said. I'm not rushing it, he said, because sure, here, that was half as full. So the guy said, look, he said, I'm asking you. I said, drink the pint, he said, I'll leave it, or I will summons you. So lo and behold, the man got summoned. Out of 60 people, there was one summons given out, and that was the fellow because he wouldn't give up his pint. Another fellow that enjoyed the Voice of York very much indeed was Mr. Frank Keenov, that I know Frank was at a lot of him. Frank, what memories do you have of the Voice of York?
Well, I suppose the memory I would have would be of Minnie's. You know, and Minnie's was an institution at the time, Michael and Minnie. And getting back to what you said, the crowds of people, it was unbelievable. And it was a marvellous platform for amateur singers, you know, who ply their way, probably, you know, thought they were professionals. Sometimes.
that had to do with
Jim.
Well, undoubtedly, yeah. Well, I'm quite sure, like, you know, during the course of this morning's programme, Jim, it will all come to light because we have in our studio here this morning with us Patsy Slim O'Regan. And I'm quite sure.
Slim, yeah.
I'm quite sure Patsy will have a memory or two.
One of the chief organisers.
Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly.
Nooch's right hand man.
Well, you see,
Lieutenant.
Well, he was the money man.
Oh, that was the man. No.
And he's still the money man.
I wouldn't think you should refer to him as the money man. He was the treasurer. He had a real title at the time. Jim, will be going to track one to Donny Lee, and then we'll go back to Patsy.
Just before you do, Jim, there's one instance actually talking, we're talking about opening and closing. We went to one particular establishment. We won't mention names, but likewise, as I say, around 12 or 1 o'clock, there was a knock at the door, and... publican went out and the guards were at the door. He says, what time are you closing? And the publican said, October.
If we can at all. All right.
There were some various things, like, you know, as you go along. But one of my pet... You may remember, Patsy, that whenever the singer was singing, you know, whenever a singer was singing, there'd be no drinks served while the singer was singing, like, express out of respect. But there was one particular singer, I won't mention his name, if he's listening, he'll know who I'm talking about. I think it was, I'm sure it was in Bertie's. And this particular song, I think I told you this one, was Lough Shiel and Eviction. Remember that one?
I remember it well.
You know, but the original one has about the best part of 17 or 18 verses in it.
Yes. Yeah.
But most of the fellas now, they'd only sing 2 or 3 verses, yeah. And that was it. But this fella anyway decided he'd sing the lot. Well, I suppose the publicans and everybody else said enough is enough. Well, I never, in all the Voice of York I was with, saw so much drink being sold while this fellow was singing.
I was there that night, and I actually thought that we were in an old folks home, because if we looked at a couple of corners, people were asleep. So this poem had done from about 8:45 to a good 20 past, I'd say.
No, but as I say,
it was unbelievable.
It was like the dangerous time of
Gloom. Whether he had the 17 verses or whether he was repeating the first verse, everybody was so fed up. But he was a terrific entertainer. We better end with that.
Oh, yeah. But as I finish now, and we put on your man, the first one. But the thing about it was, like, that's the one thing got me, like, in all the years I was, the public, it's the respect there, like, you know, there'd be no drinks sold while the singer was singing. But on this occasion, enough was enough. And there was about 4 of them inside the bar that night, like, they were all going non-stop while your man was singing.
Okay, we'll go to the first singer, a great friend of mine, and a lovely, lovely number, and before we actually go to that, I'm just going to say we're going to dedicate the show this morning to the Kenefick family, because Nooch was an institution in town, and by the gentleman that he was, and also that he was a local councillor, but he was a nice man, and that was the most important thing. And he put this idea together. It worked very, very well. So we'll dedicate the show this morning to all the Kenefick family and thank them for the great dad that they did have, and that the man, they had great people and absolutely wonderful to what he'd done for y'all in other ways as well.